Hello and welcome to Arco Couch, the best place to chill your fans and get your game goodness each and every Monday, usually unless the show gets completely fucked while recording live at DreamHack Melbourne 2024, in which case, probably now tonight, late Monday, early Tuesday, I don't know. My name is Dylan Blight and joining me, Kira Much.
Hello, hello, hello. Wait, we've lost special players. Damn it. That was great yesterday.
Tuesday.
Damn it.
It was so funny, though, because you did the bit, and I was like, oh, the bit. And then Ash's face went, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, I getcha.
Good. Makes me feel younger every time. Anytime you say, like, a streamer joke.
Like thing, a Twitch streamer?
And I get it, and Ash doesn't, makes me feel younger.
Yeah, nice.
Makes me feel younger, which is good. Nice. So, yes, we were at me and Kieran. Well, sorry, I was at DreamHack Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Kieran was at DreamHack Saturday, Sunday. Ash surprised us and was there Sunday. We did record a podcast in a terrible location, which we discussed a little bit more of on if you want to listen to RK Couch Between the Cushions, but recorded it at what seemed like a good location turned into a bad location at DreamHack. So that podcast is just not going to come out. The audio is absolutely terrible. But Ash was on that. So it's actually his fault is what I've decided, where the blame goes for that. So if he wasn't there, I think we would have been fine. But now he's not here. So his thoughts don't matter anyway for the show. But
you only as he heard half his thoughts anyway.
Because
halfway through a sentence when he got a mic.
Halfway through a sentence by the time I got the mic in front of his fucking face. Yeah. DreamHack 2024. My first, your second, the second in the second since post COVID. I think that's how the timeline works. What did you think? You said you've had a bit more time to think, a bit more time to put your thoughts into proper words.
I had a really weird morning today of scrolling through social media and seeing so much praise for DreamHack from people.
Because you saw that, you decided, that's it, I hate it now.
No, but it was like, at first it made me think, am I off base with how I feel about DreamHack? Am I off base with feeling that being sad, such disappointed that esports is no longer the emphasis of DreamHack and that DreamHack is pacifying itself and going towards more of a convention?
Do you want me to quickly get in here just to say something to Asterix can quickly answer a lot of what you're about to say? Do you think that the majority of the people you saw on Twitter/X tweeting out all the positive praise were one of the 600 creators invited to the event?
That's where I was about to get to.
Yep.
First, I realized a lot of them were creators or lots of people who do not have any interest or have not taken part in esports before and do not have a passion or an interest or an even a beginning of an interest to esports. So they've come along thinking, oh, this is my first esports event, and their first esports event is provided to them like a PAX. I think is interesting. And then I read there was a Kotaku article came out today discussing
David's one.
The Australian one that came out discussing it, and David echoed a lot of my thoughts and pointed out even the stuff that I didn't think about. Like it was his point, Dylan, when you and me were sat watching the embodiment of death get up on stage and start ripping out heavy metal music guitar solos.
What's up, DreamHack?
What's up, DreamHack?
Shoulder kick.
We were.
I mean, he was pretty cool. He was shredding, but it was funny at times.
It was weird. It was shredding. I guess what I didn't think about in the moment, and maybe what you didn't think about in the moment, was
all the people behind us.
All the people in the con behind us that it fucking sucked for, that for like 1 hour just couldn't talk. Like these were the people at your Intel booths, your Scorp Tech, your Monster Energy, your Kick, your booths that you would see on the show floor of any other convention are here, but they're getting long periods of time without being able to communicate properly with people. Three dumb fucks who decided to try and record a podcast in that room thought it was a good idea, And then we got drowned out instantly and it was a bad idea and we've lost it and we're now re-recording it the following night.
A good idea until a show started.
Yes, yes. I think... I do, yeah. It did... DreamHack, I think, overall was a good event. I think it's positive. You see lots of people there. What they did well was like the non-esports stuff. Other than that show floor and how cramped it was, that's just based on the venue they're at. Probably it's not the right venue if you're wanting to be more of a convention than you are worrying about your esports. But does it well. You know, stuff like the cozy, comfy area was fucking amazing. Like, it was the best one out of any of these conventions. It was really nice. They did the vibe really well. It was decorated nicely. Like, stuff like that, they've done really, really well. I just, as we discussed yesterday, and as I feel even more so now, it still moves away from esports. You know, the fact that a large majority of the people attending had no concern or no desire for the esports there. They were there for to see Trash Taste Podcast, see Cold Ones,
To jump in quickly here, some like little bit of research I did, not research, but just something I was like, I'll check. So I went on the DreamHack Melbourne website and I was like, I wonder what the info page is. And tell me what stands out to you about this. What is DreamHack Melbourne this year? They've got 16 points here. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to read the top four or five. Number one. More content creators than ever before, with over 500 content creators confirmed as part of the Creator Hub this year in accounting, blah, 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 blah. Number two, an incredible lineup of cosplay featuring an ECG qualifier and Australia's largest cosplay prize pool. Number three, Artist Alley got double up XP this year. It's doubling in size to 100 artists. Number four, ESL Challenger returns with new row F ticket, blah, blah, blah. And number five, the LCO Grand Final is back, blah, 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 blah. What stands out amongst that?
It's not an esports show. It is
The two esports events.
Yeah,
is fourth and fifth. Now, in comparison, I was like, out of interest. Now, again, I know this is apples and oranges to a degree, but I was like, let me look at DreamHack Dallas. Like, and again, our audience I know is a lot smaller. It's a lot smaller convention. But I'm like, just from a on paper.
What
the DreamHack brand has done and selling that we're trying to bring to Australia, what's that look like? So let me just read down what's on their homepage at the moment. Their event's coming up. Tickets go on sale in 6 days, right? Number one thing. IEM Dallas is back for its 100th event. Fans can live in the highs and lows of Pro Counter-Strike. Number two, Magic the Gathering at DreamHack Dallas. We have tournaments every single hour for Magic the Gathering live stream. Number three, meet your favorite content creators, blah, 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 community, etc. Number four, Esports World Cup Street Fighter 6 Dallas qualifier. Next one, Esports World Cup Tekken 8 qualifier. Next one, Esports World Cup EA FIFA qualifier. Next one, Overwatch Champion qualifier. Next one, StarCraft 2 qualifier. Next one, ESL Impact GG for all, CSGO scene, etc., etc., etc. They're the... So what, to me, the standout... there is obviously they've got content creators as three. Not they're saying that's an important thing. Meet your favorite people. Content creators are a big part of it. But in the top six, one, two, three, four of them are esports. One of them is board game, Magic Gathering events every hour, and another one's content creators.
Okay, and this is where the weird thing for me is, and maybe because we spent more time. A good portion of our time, we were there watching esports.
I definitely spent, like, I would say I spent, like, 70% of my time watching esports. Watching
CSGO specifically.
Yeah, like, and then obviously I ended my day, even though I didn't get to see it through to the end because I had to go leave and catch a plane, but then I ended my time at DreamHack was watching LCO until I had to leave.
Yeah. With this idea of, you know, we're here to see all your favorite creators are going to be here. Your favorite creator is going to be here.
Yeah.
I felt strange about that because I get personally, and I am somebody who watches a fair amount of YouTube and content creators of the such, and especially in the Australian scene. I can't say I saw that many content creators roaming around.
Wrong. They were everywhere.
The arena, you know? Like, I didn't see people roaming around or bits and pieces, except for when we went into the streaming booth area, because, of course, there's streamers there. Which then goes to me, okay, were there actual meet and greets happening? Were there, There was. Yeah. There was more panels happening in that little room, in the one room, sure.
There was one panel about esports the whole weekend.
The, apparently... The creator, like area was fucking massive.
Yeah, it would have to be. 600 people.
Yeah, it was huge. Mm-hmm. And so, as a... It sounds counterproductive a little bit, right? That, like, you want... You've made this such an amazing space for creators to spend time in, to even, like, it even says, like, to conduct meetings in, yada, 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 place to connect and network.
But if they're sitting there the whole time and that's their con and they come out and say it's great, is that a good... And this is the same problem I had with the Game Expo last year, to a degree, even though I didn't go this year. I went last year, press and media got... press and content creators got into the same fucking room, free booze, a bunch of areas to chill, video games set up there, everything in this room at the Game Expo last year. I fucking just sat in there the majority of the weekend. Now, I had a good time. Because I got free drunk over 2 days, right? Is that a real testament to the show? You know what I mean? That's always my worry. You got, you know, when depending on who you're talking to, you get a bunch of people tweeting out, "Man, this was DreamHack was so great. I loved it. I spent such a great time with my friends." No doubt that these people are. I don't think they're lying. I just go, "What did you do?" And if the answer is, "Well, I spent." You know, like I did, I popped out, looked on the floor. That was great. They had a Dragon PC. Awesome. Yeah. What else did you do? Well, I just chilled with friends in the creator lounge. Okay. Cool. Good for you. But like, is that a real reinforcement of the quality sort of show that we're putting on here? You know what I mean? For the normally, the buying ticket holder.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I think, and this is where, not to get on to be bashing creators or bashing the inclusion of creators or anything like that, because...
But we can bash kick creators. I don't care about that.
Oh, yeah, kick creators are fair game. Yes, creators do need a safe space because people are parasocial indies. It could get kind of weird. And for some creators that are large enough, you can create safety hazards and fire hazards and stuff of people lining up to meet people or making crowds or whatever.
I mean, did you see they literally had a red carpet for them to walk into the area? Did you walk past the door?
No, I did not see that.
Okay, so the entrance to the creator area, there was a dude always standing on guard. They had a red rope that he would pull back for you to let people in, and it had a red carpet leading to the door.
And it's like cool. You've had that, and I'm great. You've made that space for creators. Awesome.
Yeah.
But then, shouldn't your creators be, you know, on the show floor or taking part in things? Or
I mean, let's break it down, right? TwitchCon, whatever. So if you're going, hey, when we want to make, I think the word we used when we recorded was like CreatorCon, right? So it's not TwitchCon, it's not KitCon, YouTube StreamerCon, it's CreatorCon. That's what we want to make DreamHack be, right? So it's all about inviting a bunch of creators, lots of meet and greets, streaming events and stuff like that. TwitchCon or whatever, years past, Pokemon or whoever would show up, draw a massive audience, lines for fucking hours to do a meet and greet and stuff like that. Did we have that?
No.
No.
We didn't have you don't have the convention space to do
that. Who are Australia's biggest streamers? Because I can name some off the top of my head, and I guarantee they're not, like, or actually I can't. I could just picture them, right? I can't remember what names.
So
like, Lucy Fruit or whatever her name
is. So you got Creator, Loser Fruit, sure, very big ones.
Okay,
You've also got, like, he's not so much a streamer, but he does stream, like, Laserbeam.
Laserbeam, yeah.
Your Lockie, your Lachlans, your people from Power, like the Power organization. Yep.
Let's say the whole bunch from Backpocket, maybe. They're pretty, like, any of these people at the show?
I don't think so.
No, they weren't.
No.
No. So I feel like this is my only problem. Like if you wanted to create a con, okay, you want to do create a con, you got to get the right creators, right?
Yeah.
Who was the big name?
I don't even know who the big for me, of course, it's your Trash Taste and your
so it was Trash Taste, which trash, yes, trash they were Trash Taste. I found out was the number one thing, and you've since informed me that they're an anime podcast.
No.
What are they then?
They started as an anime podcast. They're just a general shit talking podcast. Like they just
okay. So they're not gaming. Like they're not gaming and they're not esports, right?
No, they're neither.
They're just shit. They're just dude. They're just a bunch of shit. They're just people. They're
a couple guys that hang out and do voice acting. Okay, and stuff.
Who was the other big group there? Cold Ones, right?
Cold Ones.
What do they do?
Not streamers. They fuck around.
They just do nothing. They get drunk.
Yeah.
I don't know if they play video games. I assume they do, but like. They like as far as like are they a video game creator? Not really. Are they people that hang around a lot of video game cons? Sure, they like fall into that crowd, but you know, again, are they big, are they like gaming focused? Are they esports focused? No. So with two major guests not following
I hate this that they're throwing out this number of like 500 creators. I think that is so dumb to me.
So on the email today, 600 content creators. It says a record number of over 600 content creators took part in creator-focused activities. Now, to add something else to your thing here in the press release that came through this morning, record number, 35,513 attendees, up from 25,851. What drew them in? That's my question. And obviously, if you're the organizers of DreamHack, you're going, what worked? What drew these people in? What do you reckon?
I don't know if this is bad for me to say, but to me, it's almost like it is osmosis two packs. Like, I think it is that kind of... people love packs. They love going. And what would be as cool as packs? Going to something the second time in the year that is like packs.
Yeah, and again, I've said this before. I'm all for packs competition, and every time I talk about one of these events, PAX
competition.
It's not packs competition. And every time we talk about one of these events, and it sounds like I'm being really negative about this. So I want to clarify.
It does.
I want to clarify.
For both,
I had a really good time. I had a really good time. There's lots of stuff I really liked, but we are just breaking down the core negative, I think, for both of us, which was the confusion around the identity of this event. Because that's the core thing for me. I don't actually know what this event was. It was very confusing.
And
I've got from it, now that we're recording Monday night, in separation, looking back from it, I just go, what a weird event. Because even if I go to the Game Expo last year, compare that, I go, I had a lot of negative things to say about that, some positive and whatever else, but at least I could go, I see what you're trying to do. I don't think you did it great, but I see it. Cool. This, I go, I'm confused. I'm confused.
I just want to read this segment from David Smith's article from Kotaku, because it echoes really well. He goes, I must have asked 25 people what they were there for. It was 7 people before someone mentioned the ESL Challenger, and another 9 before someone mentioned League of Legends. Most were there for cosplay, the expo hall, or to try to meet a favorite content creator. Quite a few attended specifically for events involving anime YouTubers Trash Taste. Most saw a video game convention, decided to head along. It seemed like very few people were attending the esports festival for the esports.
Yeah, which they may be like, it doesn't matter, we got record numbers, which is fine. I just feel like if you took the esports out of this year and took that time into and the time and money of that to getting some more content creators into to draw a few more people or something, or some more on floor. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, if this is the event you're going for, do at this stage, do we just take the esports out? Because it just feels like such a cling-on, nearly, you know?
Yeah. Like, it doesn't, it feels like the esports are now like kind of stapled on top of this PAX-esque environment.
They're like, and we got to have it because DreamHack is a brand from America that is known for esports, so we got to have it. But also, it's not, it hasn't blown up in Australia as big, or there's not enough people who have interest in it to draw the crowds that that like that Dallas show will draw. So we'll swivel.
And but the thing to me is though, I think if PAX properly did esports, I would almost hazard a guess or put money on the fact that PAX would do esports better.
But here's the thing. I don't want PAX to do esports.
No, but you don't want PAX to esports. And no. Yes,
and
PAX
I filled out the survey, the post attendance survey for this, right? And in the part where they're like, what do you want here? I didn't tick like AAA games or indie games and stuff. Because to me, that's from PAX. My personal opinion, I'm like, that's what I want from PAX. And what I want from this show is not PAX. No. That's the whole thing for me. I want a different show.
I want that environment that we got sitting watching CSGO, but in multiple places throughout the venue.
Yeah.
Like, I want, like, you know what's fucking hilarious? Like, this is spoilers, most people probably don't care about CSGO, but MIBR won the event.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching MIBR versus Apex yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I laughed when I
saw... Who got third?
Yeah, who got third? I laughed when I saw that MIBR won when I got home, because all I could think about was the whole crowd being so Australian giving shit to one player on MIBR because they didn't get it. They had very low kills.
You're like, 0-7. You're 0-7.
You fucking suck. You're 0-7. And that happened throughout the whole game. You know, it's happening throughout the whole game. And they went on to win, and I find that fucking hilarious. Yeah. And it's so...
But is that, like, so we, like, I wasn't, I'm like, I don't, I'm like, this is the first time, as I said, being in a live esports environment, as much as I've watched stuff. Hearing, being in that crowd was great. I wasn't joining in. I didn't need to.
No.
But I loved it. I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I I could happily have spent the entire weekend there. I would have been fine, right? It was a good time, good environment. Everyone trash talking made it way different. I watched the end at the airport on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it sadly in the background, but it's not the same. Like, being there, like, sitting in the crowd, way better. Way, way better. And to me, I'm like, this is the problem. This is where it comes into, like, someone's job. This is where marketing comes in or something, right?
Yeah.
How do you sell that experience and get more people interested in that? Because that's what I feel like. I'm like, I know that it's easier. The route you're taking is easier to a more successful event.
Yes.
And I feel like that's the thing that slightly annoys me. I'm like, I understand why you're doing this. I get it. I can't even hold it against you. But fuck, I wish you would try harder. Like, hire some people to get esports off.
The thing is as well. And I feel like this is the same thing as the MEO, which I guess you would say is like the grandfather of this event in many ways. Yeah. You've tried to go too big too quick.
Mm.
You've gone too big for no reason. Like, not for no reason.
We didn't sell out 100K stadium. That's it. Give up.
You know, it's like you've tried to go too big too quick. And it's like, you know, fuck, CSGO, and it doesn't happen every year, they book out the fucking Sydney Opera House.
Mm.
And, like, people travel and they do a whole event in the Sydney Opera House. That's fucking sick. Like, it's so cool. But it's like, they didn't start there and they didn't, and you build it up. You go from, and I get it, and this is talking from two people that don't have the experience in building events and whatnot. But I feel like
we're podcasters. Our whole job, to a degree, is to get on here and just talk like we're experts.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. But you're renting out Rod Laver. I'd hate to know how much money it is.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sure it's expensive, and I'm sure.
So you have to have the people, right? You have to have the 35,000. But the difference is, right, as well, between PAX and DreamHack. DreamHack, I laughed when showed you guys yesterday. not laughed. It sounds a bit horrible when I do it like that. But like on my Facebook feed, it was like 80% of 3-day passes have sold out. Come here to buy one for DreamHack. And you go, oh, okay. But then you look over at PAX.
Sold out earlier than last year.
And PAX is sold out like months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are their whole allocation, which would be insane, and an insane allocation because they do it at the exhibition center. Like it's like, cool, I get it, you want to capitalize on that, but don't try and be PAX's little brother. Do you? I get it, and I didn't notice this until afterwards of people calling it the DreamHack Melbourne Festival. Wanting it to be a festival where it felt like a festival vibe. And I'm like, yeah, but don't have your biggest, like, sure, it's a festival, but like, don't have your marquee moments. Your two marquee events for 2 out of the 3 days are non-esports related.
Mm.
It's a Trash Taste podcast recorded live and a HoloLive concert.
Live concert, yeah.
And that hurts. Like that
even so, League of Legends, LCO finals. This is an Oceanic circuit. Should be massive. It's the finals of an Oceanic League of Legends event. Should be a big deal, right? In my mind, having it last thing on Sunday is a kick in the teeth. It should be Saturday night.
Worst because everybody, most people,
including me, going home. I saw people at the airport, lots of people. Obviously, you can tell, like, you can spot them, like, it's like leaving PAX on Sunday or something. All going home. I missed it. I would have loved to have watched the entire thing from start to finish. Couldn't. Mm-hmm. Also, because you got to, you went to, again, you went to football. You could have watched it. We could have watched it Saturday and gone to the fucking.
Saturday night. I would have gone to the cinemas.
Yeah. I would have said, no, I don't want to go to the cinemas. I want to watch League.
I wouldn't even suggest to go to the cinemas. I'd be like, sweet. We're watching League. We're going
to
spend
League's what I need to do, right?
Yes, yeah.
But that main stage area, and this is the part you missed out on, sucked. Shitty area, right? So we were in the stand, like up where, to the side somewhere where I was watching the cosplay stuff.
Yep.
Not right in the middle, right down. However, still, I'm sure it would be no different if you were in the middle there, up or up where was sitting on the side there. Because of that setup, you could hear half League, half Just Dance, half random monster people yelling, half like it wasn't the environment.
It wasn't a spectacle.
The LCO fucking finals. It should have been in a room by itself. Like, you know.
I was like, this isn't
good.
No, it just doesn't feel like it's but the problem that I'm finding is, and next year, I would almost put money on it, it's going to be more PAX-like.
Yeah, because they had a huge success with it. And I would say, here's the crossroads, right? And this is the problem. Okay, so we got the esports side of this, spin it out to maybe a smaller event that doesn't cost as much or something like that. I don't know if you want to keep it. Obviously, I think there is an audience for that. People were there. The Row F people, we know at Counter-Strike. I don't think they left. They were there every single day. Didn't leave, right? We know they sleep there. I'm sure people for LCO fucking cared. There were people, I'm sure, who were like, this is my number one thing I'm looking forward to. That can work. However, as we know, looking at the results, looking at that article from David at Kotaku, most people weren't really here for the esports stuff. So, okay, so you want to make DreamHack the content creation show. Number one thing I would say change, you got to take it out Rod Laver Arena, because that is a shit place to run that convention. Just take it to the exhibition grounds. Like, honestly, like, who gives a fuck at this stage? Just take it back to the... like, it's just better to run cons there.
Yep. You know, it is, because it's, you know what? It's a place designed to run them.
Yeah, like you've got rooms where you can just do creator meetups. You've got rooms you can just use for what they want to do. Because
Rod Laver works if it's an esports event.
Yeah, because you're going to have multiple different games running in different, like similar to when it's actually tennis running, and it's like fucking 8 to 10 whatever different tennis games happening. Yeah. And you can walk around as a spectator and watch half of one person's game and then walk over and watch someone else's or what have you, right? So that works if it's an esport event. It doesn't work if it's the event that they want it to be, I think. And I think they tried their best, like with that weird little Rod Laver main area setup. And for what was there, it was like, I see what you're trying to do. But again, like all the things, it was like when you walk through, it was way too crowded. I never wanted to stop to fucking look at anything in there. I was like, this is just fucking loud and ridiculous and crowded.
You didn't want to stop. And then you can't.
And then when you go to the main stage, it's like fucking loud.
You can't go to the main stage. But like, you can't even suggest that like the people that were there doing the show floor con stuff, you can't think they were happy. You can't think they were happy being there and being drowned out by what was going on in the main stage, the other side of the hall of the stadium. Like, you can't suppose that they've enjoyed that, or the people that have tried to go there have enjoyed their time, like doing that kind of stuff. It's like I just. It very much feels like you're cutting off your nose to please your face. Like you're kind of like you're hamstringing what you do or what your event is supposed to be to make yourself more generic, which I guess is almost like a reflection of what's going on in the games industry. Is the important thing that is to happen is to make sure you make money and you get a return on the event so it can happen again. Not, you know, try and stick to your identity and stick to who you are and build upon that and build success from that while having a couple years of building. It's these, you know, the idea of, again, it's capitalism in general, but this idea of we should already be successful. We should not be building from a smaller event to the next size up, to the next size up, to the next size up. We should just be big already.
So what do we actually like? What should we like?
As I said, I loved the stuff.
I was gonna say, if we go straight to the ESL Challenger stuff, obviously.
Challenger stuff was so much fun. Was so much fun to watch. Even if you don't enjoy CSGO, like,
it's not a hard game to understand.
Not a hard game to understand, but it's like you don't even need to understand the game to just be enjoying the crowd and enjoying the banter and enjoying the banter between the commentators and the crowd and, you know, people. It's such a fun environment to be in for an extended period of time. And it's just, to me, it is a sad thing that, like, a good 80% of the people attending DreamHack never experienced it or never were a part of it. They didn't go over there and they didn't check it out.
I feel like I think a standout thing was when the one stage I interviewed some people from
Brazil,
that was
it. Yeah, it was Brazil.
They're like, the Australian audience is the best audience we've ever been in. And then everyone started a hashtag for Give Australia Masters. And then, so on one side, you got these people, and I think from what I can see, most people did agree that our audience here, very lively, for this relatively small amount of people in the scheme of things, like compared to a Masters from Dallas when that happens in a couple months or whatever, compared that, relatively small. However, from an output of like just being loud and really into it, was like up there, and that's why they were saying that. So the thing is, and this is what I'm coming back to, it's like, well, the product's here, right? These people love it. If you get people in that room to sit down for 10, 15 minutes, maybe they can get it. How do you get them into that room?
Yes, yeah.
And by setting up a lot of this other stuff, you're setting up a lot of distractions from getting them into that room. By setting that room so far away from the entrance, you're setting a lot of distance to get them into that room. Mm-hmm. You know, no promotion for it at all. Like all of the, you're saying, we give up. And I think that's what disappoints me the most.
It's funny, you know, anecdote, but like yesterday, Sunday, the 28th of the 4th,
the day of the Lord,
there was more people celebrating Jesus in that arena than there were in the Catholic in the Christian cathedral down the road. There was more people because there was a guy dressed as Jesus
and a guy dressed as Satan.
and a good, they did make out. We did Jesus and friends, Satan make out. We're probably losing the religious audience I was building just then, but it's fine.
We didn't have any.
We didn't need them. like it's just so many fun moments of just yeah, just the crowd atmosphere and just in that, imagine that, but like happening in the big arena.
Yeah.
Like do that, but in the big area where you get to enjoy it and more people get to be involved. Like find a way to build that so people are going there for that. You know, when the MEO, sure, if the MEO wasn't a success or it wasn't the event that people wanted it to be and it got killed off by COVID, MEO, you walked in and it had, like, there was Overwatch going on, League of Legends going on, Apex qualifiers. I think there was, like, it was pick your poison and, like, go out, walk around. Then there was a second side bit that was a bit more convention floor-y that you could go to. But the main focus was the esports. And there were people in the crowds in all of those things. Like, it wasn't like anywhere was dead. People would go in and watch. And, like, it's the funniest thing is, and it's the way you build it, is it happened to me yesterday, it happened to me last year. You sit in those crowds and you go, I could go home and install CSGO. Like, I could go home and install and just have some fun with it and play the game with it, you know? I'm never going to be this good. I'm too late. I'm almost 30. Like, fuck. It's never happening. But I could still enjoy it. I could still get involved in the competitive natures of this game, which I love. Should you be doing that? I saw, like, families walking around. If isn't the way to build an Australian esports scene,
get the kids into it.
To get kids involved in the esports scene?
Yeah.
Like, sure, the CSGO hall.
Even the parents and being like, hey, video games are more than just.
Yeah, right? Like, even like, yes, the CSGO area was 15 plus. I don't know if you could go in there with guardians or not, maybe.
I think you could because there was kids in there. So I'm sure.
Isn't that how we get people involved in esports, is to show what is happening? And like, not even just playing esports, but like, Till and me were talking about how interesting it is to see the production side of the esport event, to see how the host is recording interviews while other things are going on, and to see that. And like, that is where you're like, oh, fuck, I love games. There's an opportunity for me, but also like I think
that's also just part of my head where, like, obviously it's like where we are in the industry, part of me interest
like,
in that stuff.
Say somebody has a love of cinematography or camera work and stuff like that, but then they go in there and they see, wait, I could do this for like an esports event. You know,
I could be a referee.
I could be like I could be somebody that works these things. And
yeah,
it's showing people and giving that opportunity on a bigger scale. And Australia is so fucking slow at adopting anything. We fucking suck as a country at adopting new things. So it's going to be a hard task to get esports through the fucking door.
And but I just don't know. In a world where Fortnite's massive, I still cannot believe there wasn't a Fortnite
competition. Yeah, right. Like, maybe Fortnite. Thing is, there was an Australian Open thing dedicated to Fortnite, either last year or this year.
Yeah, but not like a lot. There was, yeah, but
it wasn't a live event. But yeah, no. But like, you look at it and you go, motherfuckers, just Australians love fucking sports. You know, just as a whole, it's like part of, even if you don't enjoy sports,
culturally,
there is Australians a cultural thing. Where if you're in a crowd of people supporting something, you instantly, you know, if somebody says Aussie, 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 you're fucking saying oi, oi, oi. Like you're a part of that moment no matter what, because it's in your culture. And build that into esports culture, like bring that over, transform it. There's a reason, like if say 20%, yes, 20% of the audience at DreamHack, whatever, it's a random number, but 20% of the audience was that crowd in the CSGO areas. But fuck, if you can get that kind of response and that kind of enjoyable experience at a fucking 20%, imagine what you could do if you get 40, 50, 60, 70% of the people at your event.
I mean, what they say, nearly 40,000 people or whatever it was I said a minute ago.
Yeah, 35 or something.
35,000 people. How many people, Max, do you reckon you saw in the packed out LCS, in the ECL event? Maybe a few hundred.
Oh, I could say almost close.
Maybe
to packed, 1,000.
Maybe 1,000.
Yeah, I'd say close.
Not even 10%.
Not even 10% of it. But like, get those people in and get those people on board and like, it's get it so that you are selling seats to the arenas. Get it to that point where you're selling a seat to more people who like these row F stuff that you're selling to get to the better seats in the arenas to make sure. You can the fact that you, me, Ashley could just stroll in and find like really good seats, no matter what time it was, no matter when we were going. It's not a great thing about it, you know. It's not a positive thing. Like it's great for us, but it's like you want people clamoring for that event and to be going to the events and going to different things.
It's like it's book standing only, like.
Yeah, you want to be like, okay, you have to go to like the general admission section in the top tier.
Yeah.
And get in there. Like, I think, to me, it's like, that's unless there is the science and the business studies around it that says that method doesn't work anymore. But it's like, isn't that fucking, imagine like how many more tickets you could sell at more tiers and more fucking.
And the thing is, I just don't believe, maybe I should look at some more. I'm sure there's numbers on this on IG. EDA. But like I'm sure the numbers for like Australians watching like LCS and stuff, especially finals, Overwatch, like I know Overwatch goes off massive in Australia. People fucking
It used to.
Australia. So there's always been an audience for the larger events, but the question is, how do you get those people to care more about local? And by local, I don't mean like your next door neighbor playing, but you know, LCO is a local, you know, oceanic.
Yes, it's an oceanic tier. Yeah.
Like care more outside LCS, the major leagues, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like caring about the VFL or whatever, right?
Yes. You know, yeah.
There's my sports reference for you. My straight sports.
You did it. Good job.
I did good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's a lot of complaining, but really it's just...
It's more constructive. Like, I just feel like it's us wanting... I think it's because both of us loved that esports event and the esports side of DreamHack. And it's so sad that, as I said, it's so... Like, over 90% of people probably didn't experience that.
Yeah.
Event. Like, you didn't experience that environment. Get more people involved in it, you know? Like, it's so much different to... Like, it's the same as, like, you know, you say, is like, it's so much different to watching footy or watching a sport on your TV to watching it there in the crowd.
Mm.
Like, to, you know, get behind a team, to be anxious, to be excited, to... When somebody is, like, holding diffuse on a bomb and the other person left on the other team is, like, manically trying to shoot into the smoke to kill the person, is missing everything. Like, the whole crowd cheering for that and getting surprised and you don't know if what's going to happen next. And I think it's something that is a feeling that should be built on. And you know that the people that are working on DreamHack and working in ESL know the joy and know the beauty and passion of esports. Maybe it's a thing where it's like, oh, they've become a bit pessimistic because of how much of a struggle it's been to build esports in Australia and how much of a struggle they've had as a whole.
And I mean, if someone can't fix it, it's just sad.
Yeah,
like if there isn't a way to build up that community properly in Australia, then I think it's sad. If DreamHack becomes smaller packs next year, like just more in this direction, but more leaning again towards the creator side, pack side, whatever, I'm sure it might be good. Might be great. Still sad. That would be my... There's my review. Good show. Sad. You know, like... Good show, because ultimately there was a lot of good stuff for it. I don't want to like waffle on forever, but you know, Artist Alley, massive. That was great.
Which is funny because like PAX doesn't have Artist Alley.
No,
PAX doesn't do Artist Alley like that. So sick, no. You've got something there.
You're supporting the local the local community, right? Again, that's what I feel like at the heart. I'm like, okay, like esports can be a like you can make it all about local, homegrown, Australian, you know, like.
And it's like you want, like, even like the cosplay. When I see esports events in other countries, the cosplayers are there as characters from the esports.
Hmm.
So everything is like harmoniously pushing towards esports. Sadly, a good percentage of cosplay at DreamHack was anime. And that's, you know, it.
I know you always get a mix, but it's like if you go to a Comic Con, you see a more leaning towards like comic book characters or like pop culture characters more so than gaming characters. And at a gaming event, I would expect to see more gaming characters, but it did seem to lean heavily towards anime. Yeah. And again, I like watching cosplay, the cosplay stuff, like actual cosplay competition stuff where people, where there's like money on the line and stuff, because then it's like serious shit, right? You know, and again, supporting like local artists and stuff like that. So I like all that sort of stuff. All of that was great. I enjoyed the two cosplay things we watched. One we watched properly, the other one we watched while trying to record a podcast and it was very loud. But they were both good. I enjoyed ESL. I enjoyed what I got to watch of LCO. And then I watched the ending on my phone as well. But yeah, I guess it's just I thought that there was a good attempt at the exhibition thing, but again, it was just super crowded and was sort of a mess. There's a few things we obviously didn't check out. We didn't check out the archery thing. We didn't check out the LARPing thing. We had a quick look around the board game stuff. We didn't play anything, but I thought that area looked really nicely set up and everything. Obviously the chill area, we talked about the cozy vibes there were really, really good. Probably the best. No, not probably. It definitely is the best like chill area I've seen at any con that I've been to. The 600 creators, obviously not for me. I'm not the audience. I fully understand that. I would say that is a lot of people though. And I just feel like less is more here. Maybe less creators with at least one or two more big Australian creators at the top, rather than just like 600. And I don't mean this in an offensive way, but you know, mid to lower tier creators. Like, there's no one here I would call a high tier creator, in my opinion. IMO. They could be like, well, Dylan, you're not what I would call a high tier gaming website. I understand. I'm not arguing, but that's where I'd still fall on that. Kick being there, I think is terrible. All the Kick streamers walking around fucking doing their RLL streams being obnoxious is annoying. Their branding annoys me just because I see Kick t-shirts. It makes me, I talked about this to several people over the weekend, how I say it as a joke, but it's serious. I see someone with a Kick t-shirt in public, I cross the street. Right, I said this to you. I think I said it to Kieran from Prestrad. I think when I bumped into him, I like, and I'm not even like joking. I see a Kick streamer t-shirt, I am crossing the street just because of what those people and that brand are known for. I think from a branding perspective, looking at the fucking list of sponsors, it's like Monster Energy, Intel, City of Melbourne, Kick. I'm like, ew, gross. You know, not say everyone that streams on Kick is bad. I don't like paint with that big of a brush. However, at least for me, branding wise, I think that like I just view Kick as terrible, right? I don't think that's too much of a hot take. And for what I gathered, there was a small group, at least, being absolute fuckheads at the event and disturbing people and just. And I get you get what you set yourself up for. You do a Kick event, you're a Kick sponsor. Kick does invite, especially if you're like, you know, train wrecks. Fans or whatever that other dude's name is. What's that other one? What's that other dude who streams on Kick that causes trouble?
XQC or Aiden Ross or
Aiden Ross. I was thinking of
Aiden Ross is probably like the big one.
All those sorts of people, Sam Pepper, all these Ice Poseidon, right? All these big nuisance streamers. I guess that's the easy branding. You know, just. Trouble starters and stuff. You invite a certain type of trouble, I think, if you have Kick as a sponsor and a show on the floor and stuff like that. So that's what I'll say on that. unfortunately. Yeah, I don't know. Any other final thoughts on?
No, we did love our time there. We did enjoy it. You know, I think it's okay to love something, but still want more from it and want better from it and to see the potential for what comes from the better.
Hmm. And yeah, I want to clarify, like, I guess my thing is this totally just as comes from a point of like what I think this con, what I thought this con was supposed to be. And ultimately what this con comes from, you know, that's why I was like, let me look at the basis for this. Let me see where the heart of DreamHacks is at, right? Because I understand there's years here sometimes where people are like, man, PAX was a big letdown this year. No Nintendo, no PlayStation, no Xbox. And I come on here and go, fucking had a great time. Loved it. Got no complaints. Because PAX to me is about indie shit, right? Indie shit and panels. That's PAX. And if PAX has great indie games, great local indie games, the New Zealand stuff, whatever, that and the fucking panels, like if there's some AAA shit over on the side I can get to, awesome. But like to me, that's how I rate my PAX. So, you know, I'm going into this going, what's my dream hack? What's the esports vibe like? You know, what are the events like? What's the promotion for that? Like, how's the setup for that going? And I go, well, it's a bit rough. You know, that's what I'm rating the event against. So, all right, I think that'll do it for this week's episode. I do feel like this ended up going longer than our original recording, but yeah, I think your more concise thoughts with the time given to,
and no distraction,
from Ash. Yeah, that's right.
And Ash. Yeah.
Oh, and loud noises. Yeah, true. Yep. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. If you were at DreamHack, let us know your thoughts. If you weren't there, let us know why you didn't go, especially if you live in Melbourne. You're like, I don't give a fuck because it's about esports. Guess what? You should probably should have gone. You do all that.
It wasn't about esports.
Yeah, because it wasn't about esports. So you're doing fine. You can tweet at usexplosionnetwork.com/Twitter. You can join our Discord, explosionnetwork.com/Discord. That takes you there. Check out the website, explosionnetwork.com, for all the great EN content. And check out the rest of our podcasts and shows. And we'll be here next week, probably at the, well, no, not probably. We should be back at normal, regular time of Monday next week. And we'll see you there, where we'll be discussing video games of some sort. Goodbye.